Mark 9:17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, in so much that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. And now, before we proceed on with our reading and sharing the word of God, let us bend our knees and worship the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, in our weak hearts we desire to worship Thee. Thy name is worshipped and praised. In the heavenly kingdom, we believe what Thou hast revealed to us in Thy holy word, that the multitudes of the heavenly hosts are praising Thee and glorifying Thy great and holy name. And Thou, Lord God Almighty, hast desired that Thy name be worshipped and praised in the hearts of Thy children upon the face of this earth. And when Thou hast looked upon this earth, Lord, Thou hast seen that the mankind has wandered far away from Thee, that darkness has fallen upon the nations, and that human minds are darkened by sin, that the souls that Thou hast created are shackled in chains of death. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank Thee, for Thou hast opened the heaven. Thou hast sent Thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, the Savior of the mankind, to this valley of tears and sighs. Thou hast sent the perfect, righteous man. Thou hast come down in the person of Thy Son. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, the earth was burdened with the sins of the mankind and soaked with blood of Thy faithful prophets. And the people were in confusion, and yet thou hast had that compassion, that goodness and grace. Thou hast had that power, O Lord, that is thine before the beginning and forever. So thou hast proclaimed thy holy word, the message of truth thou hast sent us in Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the word was proclaimed clearly, loudly. And he showed us a perfect example of true godliness, obedience that has no failures. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, how great is thy goodness and mercy, how great is thy faithfulness. Thou hast given us a Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, for all the good deeds, for the words of truth, for the healings, for reviving, for feeding the hungry, for proclaiming this precious gospel to the needy, the souls that were in need of salvation. On this earth, O Lord, thou hast received a terrible reward. There was no gratitude, there was no praise, when under a thorny crown thou was standing facing the crowd, despised and rejected. Thou hast faced, thou hast heard only one shout: crucify. O Lord God Almighty, before thy holy face, we acknowledge that we of ourselves were no better than those that were gathered there, shouting insults and curses. That, O Lord God Almighty, we of ourselves could do no better, but we thank thee for thy great goodness and mercy. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast borne that thorny crown, that thou hast suffered so much beyond description, that thou hast allowed the wicked, sinful, cruel men to crucify thee for us. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, our sins did crucify thee. We acknowledge that, O Lord, and we desire to thank thee, but we find no words. For thy love and thy compassion, thy goodness and thy mercy, O Lord, thy self-denial, thy sacrifice is beyond description. And the purest and the best, the highest feelings of our heart are still so insufficient. Where could we find the words to thank thee and to praise thee, O Lord, for thy redemption in Christ? For as thy blood was pouring down from painful wounds, thy prayer, the prayer of a Redeemer, the only one, soared up to the heavenly throne. Forgive them, they know not what they do. O gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank thee for including us in that prayer of thine. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy suffering, suffering the deepest hell for the greatest sinners that we are, we were. Holy Father, no sense of the others could condemn us forever, but only our own. And no atonement of any kind could bring healing and salvation, but only thine own. We thank thee for what thou hast done, the creator of life, suffering death on the cross. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank thee for thy resurrection. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy ascension, and we praise thee for the outpouring of thy Holy Ghost, the power from on high that proclaimed this gospel far and wide, the power, O Lord God Almighty, that in spite of persecution, hatred and bloodshed, from one end of the earth to another proclaimed thy goodness and grace, salvation for sinners, and the precious words of thine that whosoever cometh unto thee shall not be cast out and away. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank thee for removing our hearts from darkness and bringing our souls to thy wonderful and glorious light, the light of thy truth. We thank thee, O Heavenly Father, for giving us grace and strength, for overcoming the sin and Satan in our hearts, in our minds. We thank thee for the victory over world and death, that second death that has no power over those that are in the first resurrection. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for giving us peace in thy Spirit, for giving us guidance and instruction, for giving us protection and endurance. We thank thee for the joy of thy salvation that is revealing to our soul the pretaste of the heavenly glory. O Lord God Almighty, we thank thee for holding us up when we are weak and weary, for refreshing and strengthening us, and giving us courage when we are facing persecution, when we are despised and rejected, making us aware that by thy grace thou hast allowed us to taste just a tiny, tiny portion of thy suffering, O Lord. O gracious Lord, we thank thee for that fellowship, that communion in thy Spirit, in thy goodness and grace. And we pray, O Lord, may our soul ever praise thee and our heart magnify thy goodness and grace with deepest gratitude, with highest reverence, admiring thy great goodness and thy glorious name, O Lord. How great thou art. Today, O Heavenly Father, we pray that thou give us new strengthening in this holy faith, the faith of the holy prophets and of the holy apostles, that holy faith in the cornerstone, the rock of ages, the mountain of our salvation, our city of refuge. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that the flame of thy love may burn brightly and glowing in the midst of darkness with purity and holiness of Christ, with righteousness and true godliness. May our lives be ever prayerful. Teach us to walk meek and humble in the steps of the Savior. And thou, O Heavenly Father, proclaim this holy gospel of thine and thou save the souls that thou hast redeemed. And thou, O gracious Lord, give victory to everyone and give peace and joy. May we all be united in abhorring sin and rejecting everything that is evil and loving thy word and thy commandments. May we all be united in the arms of our blessed Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Through him we praise thee, O Lord. Guide us and protect us. Inspire us, lead us and teach us, and make us thine own, O Lord. Keep us thine own, that we may ever praise thee here, that we may ever glorify thy holy name in eternity. Amen. In our second reading, with the help of our Lord again, let us read from that same chapter, Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 9, and let us continue our reading under verse number 28 to the verse number 37. Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 9, verse 28. We are continuing our reading with the help of the Lord. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." And they departed thence and passed through Galilee. And he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, "The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace. For by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all." And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." This far I desire that we read in our second reading from the Word of God. We see that our Lord's journey is filled with teaching, with the message of the gospel. Really, our own journey goes over the hills, through the valleys, and sometimes way down in deep canyons, sometimes through floods, and sometimes through fires. And if we would have to rely on our own power, if we would have to choose our own destiny, it would have been a disaster. On and on, many times we can see that and perceive that By our own strength and by our own wisdom, we would not be able to find a way to choose the right direction. So our Heavenly Father, in His goodness, in His mercy, send us one perfect example, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When He came to this earth, He appeared before the other men just as another man. He suffered like any one of us. We find that He was tired and He slept, even though the ship was in a tempest, very bad weather, dangerous time. We find that He was hungry and thirsty. He asked water. He was waiting for His disciples to bring some food. We find that He was sometimes tired of being here on this earth, in this world. Just few words here, we find that He said, "How long? How long?" And yet, in all of that, all the time, as He was walking, as He was teaching, in a way that even the enemies, the opposition of the gospel, could not deny, the power of that eternal Spirit of God was radiating, glowing through that human body that He accepted, that He used to come to this earth, to proclaim the will of the Father, and to suffer that suffering, to offer Himself as a sacrifice for our redemption. We read here that as the Lord was coming back down from the mountain with three of His disciples, the rest of His disciples were probably at the foot of the mountain, and apparently not very far or scattered around was quite a group of people waiting for Him, probably to have some of their loved ones or near ones healed, or to hear the teaching that our Lord was giving them. In any case, there was quite a group of people, and among His disciples there was a man, one of the multitude, one of the people that listened to the teaching of the Lord, or at least wanted to. And that man came closer to the Lord and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." The child could not talk. But not only the child could not talk, from time to time there would be something like a terrible spell, like an attack. The man explained to the Lord Jesus Christ, and wheresoever He taketh him, that spirit taketh the child, the spirit teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, obviously showing that it's anguish, it's pain, it's deep suffering. And the father of the child said, "I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Why? Did not the Lord send His disciples to heal the sick, even to cleanse the lepers, even to raise the dead? And they did. And they came back. And they were so excited, thrilled. Joyfully they said to the Lord, "Lord, in thy name even the evil spirits are subject unto us." What happened now? Was this evil spirit greater than the others? What was wrong? See, even today we have that notion or that idea among the religious people. If you only believe strongly, whatever you believe, it will come to pass. Well, try it. try and see. It just doesn't work. It has to be a faith that is not human. A faith that is the gift of God. God can give that faith. And if anyone needs faith, let him ask from the Lord. This time, the disciples were not sent. They were probably instructed to just wait. The Lord is coming back. They should wait. And if this man came with his child to be healed, all they needed to say, just wait, our master is coming. But perhaps the man was ignorant and did not know that all the healing power, all the strength, all the light and love comes from the Lord himself. That it's not in the power of his disciples unless the Lord gave them the power and sent them to a certain task, assignment. So this man first asked for help from the disciples. And they did believe. If they did not believe that they can do it, they wouldn't have tried. They tried. So they did believe. But human faith didn't make it. And how embarrassing it must have been. How discouraging. They couldn't make it. They tried to help the poor suffering child. But it doesn't work. So they had to wait for the Lord. And then when this father said all of that to the Lord answered to him, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? But then the Lord didn't stop. It was a harsh rebuke. It's a terrible thing to hear something like that from a holy man. That's apparently what the people thought of the Lord. That he is a holy man. And then a little bit later, if they were displeased with his teaching, they would say he is a deceiver. See, the people are very unstable. The world is like the ocean, always moving, always waves, always something different, eroding on one side and piling up sand and rocks on the other side. There is just no stability in the world. But the Lord said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? But then he said, bring him unto me. Don't seek help from men. Oh yes, the Lord is using men. He's using his men as an instrument. But first, they have to remain themselves in his hands, in his control, in his fellowship. In his arms. They also must always be aware that it is his power, not their own. So the Lord said, O faithless generation, which generation was faithless? Who was included here? Perhaps the man asking healing, because just a little bit later in verse 23 we read that the Lord said unto this man, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe in Jesus, in the Savior, in the Son of God, all things are possible to him that believeth. Perhaps to the disciples also, because he told them that for lack of faith, they could not heal this child. When the Lord was just physically away from them up in the mountain, the disciples quickly lost the touch, the relationship. And they were not able to heal the child. Well, we are never able to do anything. The Lord is the one that is doing all that is good. Well, let's say that we are able to do at least something. We can be an obstacle. We can make some mistakes and so on. That's not the Lord's business. That's our own. But the Lord himself is doing all the good things. All the gifts come from him. And when we are in his arms, he can use us as a good example, just as he did a little bit later that other child. So he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? But the father did not turn away. This man did not turn away. And the Lord said again, how long shall I suffer you? But the man is still waiting. He did not turn away because the word of God rebukes faithlessness and sin. He was waiting for the healing of his child. The father loved his child. And the father suffered with the child together. So he is still waiting. His heart is pleading. They are bringing, not only the father, the disciples also. They're bringing the child to the Lord. Now the child is closer to the Lord, but the spirit is, that evil spirit is doing all that he can to the last moment, as long as he can. Pardon me. As long as the enemy, the adversary of our souls can, he will try, he will strive, struggle even, to keep the possession of our souls by sins, by evil, by misunderstanding, by ignorance, by just anything, lust of evil, lust of evil desires and so on. And the child was torn by the spirit, not really the arms and legs were torn away from the body, but it was suffering inside, inwardly, and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. It's an awful picture to see a child in that kind of suffering. And the Lord did not, as alarmed in an emergency case, instantly heal him, but the Lord is asking the parent, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And the child is suffering, but the Lord is talking. And the parent, the man, is answering, of a child, that means from early childhood. This is still not an old man, perhaps not grown up yet. And the father is saying, oft times that spirit has cast him into fire and into waters, in all kind of disaster, dangerous situations, to destroy him. But then the parent says, but if thou canst do anything. I wonder if the disciples, when they saw that before the Lord came, if they did not haste to heal the child, but it didn't work. But the Lord is not hasteful. He is calm. And he's taking his own time for healing. His own moment is coming, but it takes time. And the child is suffering all the time. And the father is suffering with his child. And then the father, after he explained to the Lord what happened so far, he said, but if thou canst do anything, just anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, with the Lord, there are no ifs. There is no if with the Lord. If thou canst. It's very difficult to pray to the Lord or to seek something and have those ifs that humanity is so subjected to. We know that the Lord can do all that he wills. That's faith. Only we don't always know exactly what he wills. So we seek, we ask. And that's why we have the word of God. So the parents said, if thou canst, do anything. But the Lord turned the words to the man. It's that if is not with God, but with the man. If thou canst believe. See, against the word of God, against our receiving the fullness of his grace, is the lack of faith, lack of believing the word of God, or deficiency of believing. All things are possible to him that believeth. What all things? all things that God has prepared for him. So what happened? The man acknowledged his struggle. And he said with tears in his eyes, "Lord," now it's not master anymore, it's Lord. "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." What this man is saying, in other words, "I want to believe. Give me that help. Help me to believe." And the Lord did. The Lord gave to this man not only faith, but proof. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And there was a cry, and a rending, sore, grievous. But then there was a calm, and the body of this child was down on the ground as dead. So that the people around said, "He died. He's dead." But then the Lord took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The word of God cast the evil out. But the touch of the Savior lifted him up, lifted the man, the child up, and he was healed. So, it was done. The parent was comforted. The child, the young man, that young person was healed. Wonderful, glorious. But the job is not completed. The Lord has something more to do. He went into the house, and now his disciples come to him privately. They didn't ask, "Are we faithless and perverse generation?" They were not offended. At least they didn't want to show that they might be offended. They simply ask, "Why? Why could not we cast him out?" You see what the possible mistake was. When they were sent to heal and to do the things in the name of Jesus Christ, they did them. They did healings. They did very good and wonderful things, miracles. But apparently at this time, something was missing. Not the word in the name of Jesus, but the awareness, the faith in the name of Jesus. So they ask why. And the Lord said, this kind can come forth, or this evil, this demon, or the evil spirit can be cast out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, one can wonder, if they would be fasting, if they starved them to death, would the evil spirit go out of the child? I don't think so. But apparently, in their heart, there was a different feast, not fasting. There was some pride, prestige, some indulgence in unhealthy, sinful feelings or desires. And so the Lord said, fasting, self-denial, and then prayer. And prayer is not a recital of some words that we know or that we learned. Prayer is seeking God's presence, seeking God's grace, God's mercy. And they departed hence, the Lord and his disciples, and they passed through Galilee. And he would not that any man should know, that the crowd, the public, would be aware. The Lord wanted to keep this journey in quietness. The reason being, he taught his disciples, speaking unto them, "The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." Well, that's what he was teaching them. In this book, it's only one verse. Why was it necessary that the crowd be away, that they have private time as they were journeying, as they were walking through Galilee? Well, this is only the title. He was teaching them and he was explaining them, and it took a long time and they still could not understand why. Why they could not understand that the way of God, the way of salvation, the way of redemption goes through suffering, through humility, through self-denial, through the rejection of the world, and through perfect fulfillment of God's will on the behalf of those that never could do that themselves. They understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him, the Lord. So they came into Capernaum. Well, there was a time when he was talking to them as they were journeying, and then there was another time when the Lord is walking alone and the disciples are right there, very close to him, and they're talking about something privately, not desiring that he would hear what they talk about. So when they came into Capernaum, he's asking them, what was that? What were you arguing about among yourselves, by the way? And they were quiet. Well, at least they didn't lie. They didn't say something other than what they were talking. So they were decent people, much more decent than many of the people in the world around us. But they couldn't say the truth, the facts. What were they discussing? What were And that their teacher, their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not going to be with them all the time as he is with them now, that he is going to die. They did understand that, I believe, because they argued among themselves who should be the greatest to replace him, who is going to be the leader when Jesus is going to die. And yet we read in the verse number 32, they did not understand this saying. They misunderstood. They did not understand in the right way. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, even in his death, is the Savior, is the Master, is the Lord. He's not going to take any second place. And none of us, even if we were as gifted as the apostles, even if the Lord gave us such a great mission to die on the cross or to be stoned to death or anything, we still would be only the saved ones. Not the Savior. There is always a great difference between the Creator and the Savior and the creature and the saved. So they couldn't answer. They were embarrassed because they disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down. You see, he didn't order them, everybody down to their knees and listen to what I have to tell you. No. He sat down. He's calm. He's peaceful, but he is very strong. He sat down and called the 12, and so they were all around him. And then he saith unto them, if any man desire to be the first one, the same shall be least, the last, last of all, and servant of all. What a picture of the Savior himself. And then he takes a child. Now, this is not a child that is torn with an evil spirit. No, this is a peaceful child. He took a child and set him in the midst of them. Perhaps the child was a little bit shy. We don't see here that this child did anything improper in any case. So we could imagine that this child was raised and knew, was raised in a good home by concerned parents, and the child had good manners. Perhaps so. But there is something else, something more important. He set the child in the midst of them. And then the Lord took the child into his own arms. And now the Lord is holding the child in his arms and talking to the disciples. Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Well, how should we understand these words? The child in the arms of the Lord Jesus. See, the Lord explained, whosoever receiveth me receiveth not Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary. Whosoever receiveth me receiveth the Son of God, receiveth the Father, the Almighty God. And so that explained to us, whosoever shall receive one of such children, what kind of children? Children in the arms of Jesus. Whosoever of you shall become as a child in the arms of the Savior, that one receiveth the Savior, and that one receiveth the Father. And who has the Son has the Father also, and that name is in the book of life, life everlasting. So may the Lord give us that grace, not to be of a childish mind, but to be the children in the arms of the Savior, to be as peaceful and calm, aware of the safety and warm love of the arms that are holding, just as a child in the arms of his or her parent. So our souls are in the arms of the Savior. All difficulties and all suffering that we might encounter in our life, all of that is not only known to him, but he suffered much more. So we trust in him, and he is always with his own. May the Lord bless his word and add to each of our hearts and souls what we need, that we all may share in his and partake of his goodness and grace, his goodness and mercy, and live and walk in Christ. Have that peace and joy to the glory of our Heavenly Father. Amen.